call the regular session of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission to order. Can we get a roll call?
Chair Greg Hitt.
Here.
Commissioner Tom Merrick.
Here.
Commissioner David Atler.
Here.
Commissioner Kay Lantel.
Here.
Commissioner Patricia Olson.
Here.
Vice Chair Alan Forbes.
Here.
All right, thank you. We have a quorum. Call of the audience. Any blue cards?
No blue cards at this time.
And before we keep going here, I see our new town managers joining us. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
It's important. Address the group while you're here real quick.
This is Jeff Wilkins. I think met Dave. And so look forward to – well, I appreciate you being part of our commission and giving us your time. Hopefully I get a chance to meet you guys, get to know you a little bit more over time goes.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right. Yeah. Thank you and welcome.
Glad to have you.
All right, first item, review and approval of the May 5th, 2023 study session minutes. Anyone had a chance to review them before?
I move approval.
Second.
All right,
thank you. All in favor, just say aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Opposed? Motion passes.
I'll abstain for the record. I was not there.
All right, item number two, review and approval of the May 8th, 2023 regular session and meeting minutes. Any comments or changes? If not, I'll take a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Pass. Item number three, update and discussion on the water conservation.
Conservation program tonight. So we have two youth programs now. One is Conservation Kids, that's grade first through third, and then Discover Our Water, which is grade fourth and fifth. Discover Our Kids came in 2014, and Discover Our Water, this is their second year. So it's been pretty successful for that age group. We had 8 schools participating, and we reached over 1,200 students with our youth program in partnership with Environmental Education Exchange. Those are our contractors that coordinate with the schools and also present in the schools. So one of the nice things about having additional materials for teachers is that the presentation isn't just one time. They have an opportunity to kind of, you know, go through the information multiple times with the kids. And so this pre- and post-visit activity allows them to do that. And we have about 72% of our teachers say that they actually complete those pre-visit lessons, so that's kind of nice to have. They also have our Conservation Kids video, which was labeled with Oro Valley Water. We receive an annual report, and within that is a lot of different information, but we got pretty good feedback this year. We got an excellent assessment, and so that's nice to see. And there's also some comments there from the teachers. Ben Mitchell is pretty wonderful at what he does. I've observed them, and he does a great job. So I see why the kids like him. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at our website recently, I just kind of wanted to show a new bit of information that we have there. Oro Valley Water partnered with Tucson Metro and Marana Water to just provide information and options for customers who might be getting tired of their pools. We certainly aren't asking people to remove pools, but it's an opportunity for people that just are tired of them to look into it. So, and also, I think what's nice about this website is it gives you kind of some repurposing as well for your pool. I've seen people do gardens in them, put in large harvesting tanks in there. So there's kind of a different group of repurposing going on out there, as well as just flattening it out and you know, putting your chairs there like it was never there. So it's kind of interesting website. It also, when you get into the website, it circles to our permitting department, so that if they have questions regarding that, they can contact to permitting, and they have that contact information. Just a short WaterSmart update. We've had 185 accounts registered in the past 90 days across all meter classifications. It's been nice to see we have a little bump in irrigation customers as well as commercial customers in registering. They're a much smaller proportion, of course, than our single-family residential, but it's nice to see that little jump in there. I do think that with the new billing software that we have, it offers customer service an opportunity when people call. They're talking about, you know, we want to know more about the billing. It gives them an opportunity then to say, hey, you know, we have WaterSmart too. So I think that's given us a little bit of boost. We've had over 1,000 visits to the portal in the past 30 days. It goes up and down, but basically we stay pretty, you know, pretty on level. Like that.
All right, thank you. Any questions or...
A quick question. Yeah, you said 185 new registrants. How many are registered altogether?
We have just over 7,000 now. Yeah.
Yeah, 7,300. Yeah, it's in line.
Yeah, 7,300.
Yeah. It's about a third of our customers.
Yes.
Any other comments or questions? I have one on the pool program.
Uh-huh.
That's just voluntary. There's no financial incentive than simply removing the water savings.
Yeah, that's correct. It also provides a budgeting tool that you can kind of look and see what savings you can get, not only from the water, but the maintenance and everything else. So, and it's based on all of our different water rates. So.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, we'll have calls, like, how do you go about it? It's a good resource on... Karen said it gives you examples of repurposing and provides resources on how to go about doing it. Depending on what jurisdiction you're in, you click on the icon and you go to that jurisdiction's building official page or, you know, planning page, whatever. So
who developed and sponsors the website for the pool?
So it was a collaborative effort, you know, between Tucson, Coro Valley, and Marana. We all...
She said that, and I was sorry.
We all pitched in some funding for a third party to create the website and aggregate the information from the partners. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
All right, item number 5, update and discussion on the water utility financials.
Nope.
Capital
no,
oh, I'm sorry. I just skipped. Yep. Sorry. I went to item 5. Item 4, you can stand up.
I thought it was premature on my part.
Update and discussion on capital improvement projects.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Please, Mark. So tonight I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this year's capital improvement projects. What we have going on. Last year, we were pretty heavy on the design. This year, we're going to be working a lot on the construction side, so we're excited about that. This is some stuff happening. So again, it's as typical of our capital projects every fiscal year. We're doing well maintenance. This year, we have 2 wells scheduled. We have E2 and C9. E2 is already in the works for rehab. We've already pulled the motor. We're going to replace that motor with a new motor, pull the casing. I'm sorry, not the casing, the pump and the brush and bale the wells, which is typical. We video log them, and then we'll rehab it with a new pump after we've spec'd out a new pump and based on our water level, things like that. So that's scheduled for this year. We've got that, both of those. Well, E2's now. Hopefully we'll get the next one, C9, in the wintertime. During our demand is a lot less. Nokomis Guide, now you've seen this one probably for the last several years. Finally, we've completed the design. We've got the electricals completed. We've got this project in procurement now. So we're planning to put it out to bid with our jocks here in the next month and a half. So we should see something probably going as far as construction and equipping the well site. I'd say probably October of this year. So we'll see some construction going there, equipping the well, and getting it into our distribution system.
Mm-hmm. Let me turn on the right. Is that the footer for the wall, or?
So yeah, so this
pretty
is
hefty.
Yeah, this is the footer for this wall. It's okay. Kind of a retaining wall here on the backside. It's kind of hard to see, but the hill came down and we built a retaining wall, and that's why that's such a hefty footer.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive. I think when I saw that, I just wanted to take a picture.
Yeah.
Things that impress us, right?
Yeah, hey. That's why we're engineers.
Right, yeah. So that's what that photo is. That's a photo of our footer for this wall here. And this is the site itself. And then that's when we were doing our pump test. So this is a really good producer. This well is a... We're excited to get this well into our system. Probably by the end of the fiscal year, we'll be up and going. So our next well is steam pump. This is over at the steam pump ranch. It's just over on the southeast corner of the park there. And so this one as well will get equipped to get put into our D-zone distribution system. And we expect this one also to be going sometime in September, October. The bid packages have been put together, and so those will be out here on the street shortly, probably by the end of the month, both Nokomis and steam pump. So here's our Palisades water distribution. This is a redundant line. This is that line between Catalina Shadows and here's Catalina Shadows and Silver Hawk. When they finished this subdivision here, Silver Hawk, they gave us that opportunity to interconnect these two, where we have a single feed feeding probably about 1,000 homes, and we wanted to kind of minimize that risk and create some redundancy. So this line is going to help us feed the subdivision and eliminate two dead ends as well. This has already been, we've already selected a contractor. We pre-purchased some of the materials, or all the materials actually, and we're scheduled for mid-October to get going on this one. So that's all lined up, our ADQ approval. We'll send out the notifications to the neighbors here probably in the next month, letting them know this is coming. And we've already been in contact with them as well, so they're aware of it, both HOAs. The El Conquistador, we're going to revisit this one. We're going to look at, similar to what we're doing at Palisades, this is also a redundant feed to the subdivision, the El Conquistador subdivision, from coming in from the entrance, all the homes there within the El Conquistador subdivision. But we're looking at probably doing a PRV and then running a separate line as an alternative to help with redundancy in that area. So here we have the countryside. This is an existing wheeling station where we wheel in water from Moore Valley through Tucson Water. Currently, we're at about 100 GPM. And we rely on that quite a bit at Countryside. We have two wells there, and this is going to improve it. We're going to up this to 300 GPM for that site. This is also complete, and we're looking at starting construction in the winter time when we'll have an opportunity to shut down that wheeling station.
And that's CAP water.
That's CAP water. That's coming from Maverick Valley or Capstar. This is our Rancho Vistoso. If you remember last year, we upgraded our boost, our HP tanks. The HP tanks have been rehabbed, replaced with new HP tanks. They're ASME certified tanks. Now we're going to come in here and redo the booster site itself with some higher efficiency vertical multi-stage centrifugal pumps. So we're hoping to see a considerable energy savings on these ones. And we're going to actually probably do a dual system at Rancho Vistoso and at Sun City. Probably Sun City maybe in the coming year or 2 or 3 years down the road, just depending on the need, if it's necessary, or look at another site and then come back to Sun City. But this is a closed system, so it allows us to hopefully more efficiently service these areas. That was just an example of what the... So the La Cañada Booster Station, this is also completed. The design, this is going to be put out to bid, advertised at the end of the month. So we'll have some interest from the contracting community, and we'll get this one going as well. This is going to be a big deal here because it'll be service. It'll be bringing in our Nord's water. We'll be pumping it up to the La Cañada Reservoir, and then we'll be pumping it to the F and G zone sites, or F&G zones north of La Cañada. That's going to be a big help, too. So getting to Nord's, this is at the Shannon Road Naranja intersection, just north. You can see here, just north of the intersection of Shannon and Naranja. That's where our future booster site is, and this is what it kind of looks like today. They've actually finished the concrete ring. We have some of the footers for the HP tanks going in. They're excavating for the cans. The cans are complete for the pumps. And they're going to start. We had our pre-con today for doing the underground piping. So all that's getting started now. So we'll be moving along pretty quickly here.
Lee, I don't remember. What's the size?
This parcel here is 2 acres.
I meant the tank itself.
Oh, the tank. Yeah. This is a half a million gallon tank.
Half a million.
So we actually have two sites. One, we have an alternative if we ever need it in the future for a second tank.
Yeah.
But at this time, we've
got plenty of property to do that.
Plenty of property to do that.
Yeah, we left room for, you know, we got the property we needed for like full build out. But we're just, you know, even though we'll have the capacity of 4,000 acre feet a year, we're not going to use that right off the bat. But we also left room, if we ever had to get into future treatment, we left room for another tank, future treatment, a generator, power backup. So, yeah.
Makes sense, yeah.
And the site will be prepped for all that, the geotech, everything, in the event we ever decide to put in a second tank. But for now, it's just the one tank and then the... And the design's done too for the future building too, just conceptually.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah, conceptually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exciting. So then the D zone connecting to the Nord's intermediate forebay, we have our D zone blending line, which was completed last fiscal year as a result of our transportation department putting in repaving Shannon Road from Lambert to Naranja. We took that opportunity and said, hey, you know what, let's just put this line in so we don't destroy this road and have to come back and do it again. So that D zone from the subdivision north, about a half a mile, was completed, and then our new contractor is going to pick it up from where we left off at the intersection of Naranja, and that's going to help us blend this Nord's water coming in with the E zone water that we'll be discharging up to into the system, directly into the system, and into La Cañada Reservoir. And we'll be actually using the D zone water until we complete the Norsburg project in the interim, because this project, intermediate Forbay is going to be completed prior to us bringing in the NORS water, so we'll be able to at least operate it, you know, our pumps and run our system.
Hey, Lee, just real quick, could you go back to the previous slide? Just wanted to mention something to the commission in case they weren't aware of it. And
how do I do that?
Even though this wasn't planned, this is like an unintended benefit, but where this reservoir and booster station is located is, if the town ever did annex in that area, which there was talk of in the past, we couldn't be more perfectly situated to serve that area, bringing in this capacity in that area. It was never master planned that way. I mean, it just, based on the high water and where we needed to be, this is where we needed to be, but it is a perfect nexus if they ever do annex, that we're well situated to serve that area from a capacity standpoint. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So it's in the county right now, or
yeah, it's in the county.
Yeah, that's all Arizona State Trust lands where we're at.
Okay,
we've got that 50-year lease on that parcel. Yeah, it's interesting because half of it is serviced by Northwest on this side, and this side is serviced by our Golden Ranch on the right and Northwest Fire on the left. So we did our notifications. You know, we had to notify. So this is the E zone also in continuation. So this plan here, this plan set was part of our original transmission main coming from Twin Peaks to the intermediate Forbay, and then this you can kind of see it here. But this is just what the overall plan looks like. Is we have that discharge line, that E zone coming up to Tangerine, and then the south going south to Naranja. This is the one that we're going to connect probably at the end of or sometime this fiscal year. And we're gonna defer this one until next fiscal year. But we'll try to time it so that we kind of overlaps and hopefully get the benefit of contractors' interest. That's it for CIP this year.
Lee, well, and Peter, if you were gonna cover this later, the status of NORDS, the partner thing, I'm good with putting it back.
I wasn't going to talk about it today.
Okay, I was just curious because I kind of heard that that's back out again.
Yeah, the partnered piece is back out on the streets.
Okay. Yeah. So now, I heard correctly, huh?
Yeah. One of the benefits of the independent portion that Lee just presented on is even without the partnered piece, it's a definite benefit to the system because it allows us to get more CAP water into F&G zones, which we never really could get that water in those zones anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's a big benefit when the partnered piece is executed, but we can take advantage of having it now because we have that D zone line going in and we can move that water into those higher zones.
Yeah, no, I think that was a smart move, and you're ready. Whenever they
ready to go, yeah.
Whenever it gets there, you're ready.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other added benefits to the NORDS, the La Cañada booster, is some of the older booster sites that we have, and not having to address. And there's not a lot of issues, but not have to put so much money into those sites because La Cañada is going to actually do a lot of the heavy lifting for us there.
La Cañada would be such a powerhouse that I don't know that we would truly mothball like Woodburn.
Wood shade.
We might put them on standby, but it could greatly simplify our operation.
Yeah. Yeah, much more efficient.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd be comfortable completely mothballing those sites, but having like on standby.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Agreed. That makes sense.
And the partner portion of the thing, I think, is the bids are due at the end of this month for the partner.
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's exciting too. Yeah.
I'll probably provide an update at our next commission meeting.
All right. Any other questions or comments for Lee? All right.
Thank you.
All right. Now we can get to item number five: update discussion on the water utility financials.
You're nodding with your head.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay, so this is an update on the fiscal year ending 22-23 as of June 30th, 2023. So potable, reclaimed, and groundwater preservation fees all came in under budget because of the near record low usage and all the rain that we had last fiscal year. So potable water came in at 13,266,000, and it was 743,000 under budget. Reclaim came in at 1,274,000. It was 100,000 under. Groundwater preservation fees came in at 2,257,000, 143,000 under. Service fees came in under by 29,000. That was just because of service establishment fees and reconnect fees. So overall, we came in under about $1 million in revenues, and it was mainly because of the rain. So expenses, personnel, we came in under budget by about 148,000 due to vacancy savings. Operations and maintenance, we came in under by 770,000 due to cost savings in several of the divisions. Capital, we came in below budget by 345,000 due to some projects being carried forward to the next fiscal year. And our debt service, we paid that on July 1st, 2022. So we were under budget on expenses by about 1.3 million. So new meters installed this last fiscal year of 186. Our customer base, 21,300. Water audits performed, 34. Water Smart accounts, 7,300. And our new portal, we have 8,200 accounts with really no advertising. I mean, that's the end of my presentation.
One thing I'd like to make sure this commission knows is, you know, even because we had this real wet fall, winter, and spring, you know, Mary looks at our expenses and revenues every month. She does a report every month. And we saw back in December, January, that our revenues are going to be lower. We weren't, you know, the trajectory just wasn't there. So with this senior management team, you know, Lee, Mary, and David, as we share this information, like, we're not sure how much we're not going to make it by, but we're not going to make it. And so they make the adjustments they need to make to try and keep costs as low as possible. And I certainly appreciate that. So it's not a coincidence that our expenses were equally as lower than what our revenues were. I mean, this is something every month we talk about, and I appreciate them very much and their teams for understanding our concerns from a management level and making those adjustments. So just want you know that isn't like a coincidence.
Right.
Wow, we got lucky.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the management team makes that luck happen.
Yeah, and there's a direct correlation. I mean, power to how much water you serve, you know, so
yeah.
There's always that. So, and I'm just curious, you probably don't have the numbers in for July yet, but I bet we made up.
Right now, I think we're 500,000 over.
Yeah,
I would guess.
Yeah.
Year,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can spend more.
No, it just means you kind of back hole.
Yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
You have 11 more months. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate this team being very sensitive to our cash flow. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? No. Item number 6, update and discussion on water operations activities.
Good evening. Talk a little bit about utility operations. Yeah. There you go. Just kind of what we've done since the last time that I did a presentation and doing. Once again, just kind of an overview, and for Jeff's sake, what our water operations does. We're the largest department in the water utility. When we're fully staffed, there's 24 of us. We're all ADQ certified water operators. We're responsible for all the O&M for the Royal Valley and Countryside potable water systems, which includes 46 active well sites, soon to be more when we're building anymore. So that's wells, reservoirs, booster stations, our cap wheeling stations. We have 375 miles of water mains that we take care of, about 2,400 fire hydrants, 8,600 valves that we have to exercise, 36 pressure reducing valve stations. And since we have all the high water, we have to have all the valves to reduce the pressure. I need to change that one because we're over 21,000 metered service connections. That keeps growing. And that's with our advanced metered infrastructure technology. And then we have 149 water sampling stations that our water quality crew takes water samples from. In operations, we're also responsible for the reclaimed water system. That's seven active sites, includes the big reservoir, some booster sites, lake feeds, and park irrigation. And then there's 15 miles of reclaimed water main we take care of. So some additional core functions. Again, we operate and monitor our SCADA system, our supervisory control and data acquisition system, for both the potable and reclaimed systems. We also manage the AZ811 locate request, which is Blue Stakes people excavating. In 2022, we did about 11,500 tickets. And I think this year we're probably going to beat that. We also complete the customer service work order request, working with Mary's Group Customer Service Center. We maintain drinking water compliance sampling and reporting in accordance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. And we also work closely with the other groups, with engineering, admin, and other town departments. So in our water operations administration, as you guys know before, our SCADA upgrade to Ignition software update, we're about 90% complete as of August 4th. It went pretty much live where we're seeing data as of July 1st, and it's up and some of us can interact with it. Right now, we're still doing our quality assurance, quality control checks on it. We found out that we had to go deeper into it and get into some of the settings and stuff and get some of the scripts to run and make sure it matches up with the old system factory talk, so it's taking a little bit longer. Again, the major changes is it's faster login time. Our graphics are easier to read and interact with. I actually finally have a live demo for you guys, so you guys can see it. Yeah. And we actually have a true historian now with the server that's taking the history from all of the tag points that we can make customizable reports from. And the biggest thing is the licensing cost is significantly reduced from what the factory talk system was. And then what I always call the director's view, we're still working on that. So again, this is kind of what it looked like. What I want you guys to pay attention to is up there in the upper left-hand corner is that schematic system. We didn't initially have that included into our design, what we wanted. We wanted something like that, but on a GIS map, and it didn't work out. Just IT couldn't get the GIS map. It just didn't work out. So we're going to go and build this screen back for our operators. So we'll see if I can get this on here. There it is. So this is what is a scrolling screen. And I'll take the scroll off of it. So this screen was actually supposed to be a layover on our GIS maps, and it didn't work out. So right now it's just a scroll through so you can see an overview of what's going on in the system at a particular zone up there. This is zone GH&I.
It's not highlighted in blue like this one is, which makes me think you're at the end.
Yeah, it should have went all the way around. You can go down here and scroll too.
There we go.
It just scrolls back and forth. So this view is actually for some common areas where we could have it up and people could just kind of look up real quick and go, oh, okay, countryside, there's 12 and a half feet in the reservoirs. Without it really being where the operators would use it. So our reclaim system is more of what we're looking for with the schematic on it. So this is the whole reclaim system. Shows all of our lake feeds, all of our pumps, shows how much is in the reclaimed reservoir. So this one here is pretty much almost complete. We added in the Naranja Park for the eventuality when we get skated there for the new irrigation system. So again, all of the wells, it's sorted out. So if we wanted to go look at a well, we can go over here and look at a well. This will actually show all the water plant floor, but we can go by the well and look at what the well is. We can look at the ground level, water level in there. This well was just rehabbed. So it has all new instrumentation in it. Same thing with the reservoirs. We can go in and look at it's a big wash site. Of course, it's going to bring up the whole big wash site. I can choose it from a boosters. I can choose it from a well. There's just many ways we can get to it. But we can look. We can see which pumps are running, our flows, our pressures. And as you can see, like I told you before, we have more of an industrial look, more easier on the eyes. Some of us that are colorblind with the other one, it's kind of like, what color is that? Is that red? Is that green? Another good thing that we like in this is the alarming. We can actually go in here, and it has different filters. But we can go in. I can go in and see all the alarms that happened over the last 24 hours, and then I can go and say, well, why did we get this alarm? What happened? And it lets us know if it got cleared. Did somebody acknowledge it? With the old factory talk, it's the operator that's on call. He gets a phone call from the system, and that's as far as it goes. Once he clears it off the board, you don't see it again. Here we can actually see it. And in the alarming, we can go in the roster here, and we can set for a manager level, my level, where I'll get emails on everything, not necessarily that. With the supervisor and the on-call operator, they'll actually get text messages. Right now I'm in probably all three of those right now testing it. So I get text messages in the middle of the night. In our history, this is kind of our reporting. So we can actually now, because we have a true historian server, and actually now go in here and we can see all of our sites, and I can go in and actually choose any tag that I want to see. So if I want to look at
that's Big Wash.
If I want to look at that Big Wash and look at the west reservoir and look at what the level's done, I can come in here and I can see what the levels are doing. If I want to go in and say, well, what did it do? What did it do for the last week? I can go into the history here, say I want to start the 1st and go to the 14th. And I can look and say, okay, that's what it's done over the period of time. But you can see, by the way it is, that's normal operation for it. You can see some of these right here that go down. We go, well, what happened? That wasn't normal. Did we miss turning the pump on? It just helps us run the system a lot better. That's about it with the SCADA system. Again, we're getting there. We're not where I wanted to be, where I had set the dates to be, but we're getting there.
And I think, Alan, you probably can truly appreciate this, because for you, those of you that don't remember, Alan was the utility's second water utility director, and you probably would have killed to have had this capability.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as like system analysis and troubleshooting, having the historical data is awesome. And looking at trends.
Being able to access it remotely, and yeah, I mean, yeah, it's very powerful.
And what David's working on is getting it to where the engineering staff will have read-only access, so we don't have to call the operator and say, hey, can you give me a printout for from this date to this date of this facility. We can just go get it ourselves.
Yeah, they can go. They can go right in here and pull whatever they want up. They can export this to a file. Working on the file types and the way that the graphs come out with the vendor. We got a little bit more work to go, but we're all pretty excited about it.
That's great.
Again, with the factory talk system, only two people can be on it at one time with the licensing. But this right here, I can have everybody in this room on it, and it doesn't. It's the licensing covers all that.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
Moving on, and then part of the SCADA upgrades is our SCADA system from that software to our instrumentation to our radio communications is 20-25 years old. Most of the equipment is what they call legacy, where that means that it's not supported anymore. So right now we're working on taking up our radio communications. We use a 900 megahertz radio. We've probably seen the antennas out at our sites. So the GE MDS 9810 that's over there on the left, it's obsolete. This new Orbit that GE came out with actually has three different bands on it, or two different bands on it. We can run it on a 900 megahertz radio, or it also has cellular capability in it, which is really excited IT about that. So we're partnered up with IT in this endeavor because, again, water operations managed this before, and I think now the technology is there that more belongs in their technological hands. You can see the map in the middle there. That's kind of all of the sites that we're hitting there. We got a pretty extensive network for us to manage in operations. And again, with this... with these radios, the older radio only does old-time serial communications where you had, remember in the old days, you had the big plug to plug in your printer in the back of your computer. With this one here, just a little phone cord, the Ethernet connection on it. So the advantage, the Orbit radio has increased communication channels, so it has more channels inside of it that it can spread out on a wider band. And then the cellular communication capability, one of the things we're doing at the sites also is upgrading the security and adding cameras. So this will, with that cellular, we can run our cameras on now. So in our water production, one of the main things that we did since the last time we met, up at Water Plant 16, which is up in La Reserve, one of the can boosters went out. So we had a company come in. You can see there's the old one on the left side, then pulling out. And then they took it down their shop in Phoenix, rebuilt it, and then dropped it back in. Unfortunately, it took them longer than what we hoped because of them getting parts. And it was like a couple of seals or something that they couldn't get. It was really, really crazy. In our water production activities, our ADC inmate work program, which I think was one of our really successful programs that we put together last year. And I left these pictures up here to remind everybody of all the good work that we did. So we got some major obstacles with our program right now. The Public Works Department, they experienced a decline in their inmate participation.
I'll say it, David. So they took ours.
They took ours. We had 2 to 3 inmates 5 days a week, which allowed us to set up these and get it done. We're down to 1 or 2 inmates on a Monday. So, again, it's difficult for us to schedule large projects, you know, getting the painting done, getting that kind of stuff done. Mary and I are going to work with procurement, and we're going to look at some other prisons to see if we can see what's out there. The other prisons are about 30 minutes further away for us one way. Which I don't think that's too bad for us because it's still better to have a whole week than it is one day. But we have a meeting scheduled next week that we're going to work on that. But I didn't want to keep that on there because of the good work that these guys did. I mean, it's like night and day.
Yeah, you guys. And you saved us a lot of money.
And we saved a lot of money.
We used to contract that out
Yeah.
You saved us a lot of money.
Saved a lot of money on that. For our water control systems activities, again, another part of our SCADA system is the PLCs, the logic controllers, and instrumentation out in the field. Working with Peter, we've come up with a 5 to 10 year replacement plan. Approximately $5 million over that span is what we think it's going to cost. I'm hoping to get it done for a lot cheaper by us building our own panels on our easier panels. But we have, again, they're the legacy remote instrumentation PLCs. We need a part for it. Luckily, we have some, or we got to go to eBay or somewhere else. Some of the old things in these panels is some of the relays are old time, have fuses in them instead of circuit breakers. We want to upgrade all that. So our first stint of this is in 5 years. We've got $2.5 million slated for that to get it started. This year we're going to build a little panel shop for them and start building a couple of simple panels and get us going. One of the things that our water control systems supervisor did is he worked with engineering and an outside contractor, and they came up with this template of what the panels need to look like so that they're all the same. Because right now they're just hit and miss. This is very key to what making success for us. In our water distribution activities, mainline repairs, valve exercising. I just put up an 8-inch main break up on Bighorn Butte up in La Reserve that they did. I put in, actually, our meter crew came out and helped out, so they're learning so that they can advance up. So you can see the guys working, and what it is it's substandard pipe, old C900. That's really not C900. You can see there's no bedding in the trench. There's no gravel, no sand bedding in there. This piece of pipe was just sitting on a rock. As the harmonics of water moving in there moves around, it starts wearing holes in there. And that's what we're finding on probably 99% of our main leaks that we have, is it's just improperly placed, improperly bedded, and substandard materials. For our water meter operations, they're still working on the warranty change out. Unfortunately, with our vendor, our meters in 2014 year that whatever they manufactured was a bad year, and fortunately, we have a bunch of those. So we get a lot of dead meters, a lot of dead smart points. Material and stock out there is kind of hit or miss whether we can get it or not. We're still waiting for some of our warranty stuff to come back to us, help us out with cost. But they've done well over 300 meter change out this year. Complete meter change out. The good news is that now we have Sprite points. The new Sprite Point software is the operators can access it from the field and update accounts when they do those meter changes in a real-time basis. They don't have to go back to Mary and her group to do it. In our water quality division, so our SAMS water compliance portal I talked to you guys about before is up and running. We're now importing past lab data in it. So, Jeff, for you... we added this software in here, and it's a compliance portal, and it helps us go in and we can put in all the sampling, water sampling that we need to do. It'll schedule it for us. We can do all of our lab reports in there. The lab reports directly to it. So we're getting real-time data. And then eventually we'll be able to actually report all that data directly to the EPA and bypass paper copies to the state that they always seem to lose. Did I say that? That's it. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. Hey, hi. I'm Chuck Stack. I came in too late. Here's my blue card. I'm the EPAC PAG representative for Oro Valley, Environmental Planning Advisory Council. Right. And I'm also, expert in water cybersecurity and to do this. I come out of the Chicago area, and I worked with the Chicago FBI in that. So I'm connected through the network with all those guys. And I just got an email from the group I work with called InfraGuard. InfraGuard is a public-private consortium of experts in SCADA security and bomb making and everything else. And let me read you this a little bit. Monday, Department of Homeland Security announced the availability of $374.9 million in grant funding for fiscal year 23 state and local cybersecurity grant program. And they go on to say that there's money available for state, local, and territorial governments to help them strengthen their cyber resilience. And I don't know with your, you know, to having not lived here very long and never met you folks, I don't know, you know, what your cyber stuff is, but it seems like it always could use a tune-up. And so everything you need here, state and local governments have until October 6th to apply for this fiscal year 23 grant opportunity. I'd like to give this to you guys, Director Abraham, if you want, and also my credentials with appointment as a national subject matter expert representing the water and wastewater sector. That's to FBI and DC. So I just wanted to leave this with you folks. There's a grant opportunity. And Peter, thank you. You sent me an email a long time ago that convinced me to move to Oro Valley.
Oh, great.
Your water situation is a lot better than Green Valley. Or Sahuarita.
Thank you, Mr. Stan.
No mines here. That's all, guys. And great job. Great presentation on the SCADA. I've got patents on SCADA, and I've licensed stuff to people like Rockwell International or Rockwell Automation and Hawk and some of the other people. So you guys are making great decisions here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Item number 7, update and discussion on water resource usage.
Thank you. You know, one of the reasons why I started having these quarterly reports to the commission, you know, with CIP finance operations is really trying to communicate to this commission body and our community. You know, as you know, we're heading into rate setting season again, and we start doing a lot of work then, and this commission body does as well. But really trying to show you, like, with our revenues, what are we doing? And I think we're able to demonstrate just a tremendous amount of work, and I'm very appreciative. You know, Mary has revolutionized how we approach finance, and David with water operations. You just have no idea what this man has been through. When I recruited him, I said, "Are you sure you're up for this?" And he lied and said he was. I'm just kidding. But I'll tell you what, he's transformed water operations. And Alan, you probably have some sense of what I'm talking about, but this commission needs to be appreciative of these two people. And David's really, he's taken a beating. He did a lot of pruning, but he's arguably has probably the best water operations group I've seen. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right, water resource usage. So part of my quarterly report from a water resource perspective is we look every year and we look at January through March and then January through June every quarter. And here we are in calendar year 2023, so this is a calendar year, not a fiscal year. But you can see just that wet winter and spring that we had. I mean, our groundwater use is the second lowest it's been in the history of the utility. Great for water resources, not great for revenues. CAP usage, you know, has been holding steady because we base load our wheeling, so, you know, that stays pretty consistent throughout the year. And because of that wetter hydrology, the reclaim use went down as well. When the Gulf managers think that there's going to be any chance of rain, they don't put in a water order, so we see reduced consumption there. So this is our main service area. And then looking at our countryside service areas, you know, our countryside is a roughly 1 square mile isolated system. It's not contiguous with our main system, and it's supported by two wells, a wheeling station, a reservoir, and a booster station. But here again, similar to the main service area, let's see if I look at groundwater production.
Just 2 acre feet over the lowest it's ever been in the history of that service area. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the CAP wheelings hold steady because it's base loaded at 100 GPM. I would expect, because we're now offsetting that awesome fall, winter, and spring hydrology with one of the driest summers, having been here for 54 years, it's one of the drier summers I've seen. So it'll be interesting to see what that next quarter looks like, but I can would expect us to see a little bump up on that. Any question with respect to our water resources, any part of the year, or particularly this part, 2023? And typically we don't take questions, but I'm happy to field a question.
Well, Peter, in the past, this is part of my responsibility with the town of Oro Valley, groundwater contaminants. When we spoke by email, it was about a year and a half ago, you told me, you know, what an enviable position the town of Oro Valley is regarding PFAS compounds, TCE, that type of thing. And we know that these compounds can move around, underground. There's plumes. I'm working on a Superfund site right now up in the Tohono O'odham Reservation. They've got perchlorate from mining, which is carcinogenic. You know, it's a mess. I take it our position in terms of contaminants is still secure, like you had told me once before.
Yeah. So fortunately, because of where our location is, you know, we're higher in elevation. Our groundwater, we're looking at the elevation of our groundwater, it's higher in elevation. We don't have a lot of industry here. You know, we don't have a wastewater treatment plant here, which is really where those contaminants come from, is the waste stream and the wastewater that ends up usually in the groundwater. But we don't have those, even though per UCMR, was it three?
Three.
You know, I don't know if David likes my non-detect word, but
we're less than.
He said less than the
less than anything they can detect.
Detectable limit. I like using the word non-detect.
Yeah.
You know, but it depends on the technologies. It gets better and better. I think we're going to be testing again next year.
Yep.
For
CMR 5.
CMR 5. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, from a groundwater perspective, we're in the enviable position of just the kind of industry we have here doesn't lend itself to generating those kind of contaminants.
Yeah, no mines. Yeah, you guys are good shape. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? All right, thank you.
All right, might as well stay up there.
All right.
Item number 8, update and discussion on a reclaimed water system.
Okay, great. So this is something I just wanted to bring the commission up to speed on. On February 17th, 2021, town council directed not just the water utility staff, but town staff to return with a plan for operating the Push Ridge Golf Course to be evaluated within 3 years as to its continued feasibility, capital improvement requirements, while also looking at alternatives to look at water usage, potential new configurations, and the third-party lease. I actually had to go back to the council meeting and listen to it to see what the motion was. it was a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then there were subsequent council meetings where, because I wasn't sure exactly where did the water utility fit into this? What's the direction given that from a water utility perspective? I didn't want to guess at what that direction was, but there were subsequent meetings where council then was inquiring to me, what would it cost to extend the reclaim system? And basically it was to extend it to the 9 hole. But while you're going there, you might as well pick up Riverfront Park and JDK Park. So once I started getting these questions, I'm like, okay, now I know my part of this piece of the puzzle. So understanding the importance of water resource utilization with respect to the future of turf irrigation, the water utility, we reached out to the consultant community to help us determine the costs associated with extending the reclaim system to Riverfront Park, the Push Ridge 9-hole, and JDK Park. So we wanted to make sure we gave our council body the best information possible to help them make whatever decision they need to make within this evaluation period. So this is just providing this commission body with the results of that work, but no recommendations being given. But just a little history. On a reclaimed water system, there was a time when the town was solely reliant on groundwater. We didn't have CAP water or reclaimed water. The first other source of supply that we were able to bring to our service area, as Alan knows, because Alan was critical to... I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants. Okay, and Alan is one of those giants. He set guys like me up for success, so thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
But we, in 2004, 2005, we started with our phase one of the reclaim system. And phase one was to serve Sun City, Stone Canyon, and Vistoso Highlands. I'm going to fast forward to just a graph here. So phase one was coming from Tucson Water's Thorndale Reclaim Water Reservoir and constructing 14 miles of, I'm sorry, it's right here, sorry, at Tucson Water's Thorndale Reservoir and Booster Station. Oro Valley paid Tucson Water to design and build a booster station for Oro Valley. So there's a booster station, and then the 14 miles of pipeline that goes along Tangerine, up on Pinata, Moore Road, and here's where we pick up Stone Canyon, Vistoso, and Sun City. So three 18-hole golf courses, and then construct a reservoir and booster station. So we pump the water from Thorndale to this reservoir, then it's boosted to serve this turf irrigation. So it was 14 miles of transmission and distribution mains, three booster stations, and a 1.5 million gallon reservoir and three metering stations. And the metering stations are where the golf courses are. 11.4 million dollars was funded as part of the town's 2003 31 million 25 year traditional bond. 3.6 million was funded with cash reserves from the utilities operating fund, and 2.1 million was cash funded to pay for Tucson Water infrastructure improvements. And one of those, what happened was Tucson Water didn't have the capacity to get the capacity that we needed to serve these areas. So we had to pay for an intermediate booster station so Tucson Water could get more water to Thorndale, where we have our booster station. So we paid for a booster station here, a booster station here, and a booster station here, and paid for this reservoir and the appurtenances to support that infrastructure. So that was phase one, and that was a big deal for the town. Phase two serves Elk and Keystone North and South courses, Naranja Park, and Painted Sky. So once we had this transmission main along Tangerine, La Pinata, so on and so forth, it wasn't hard then to build a phase two to come down La Pinata to pick up the Elk and Keystone North and South golf courses. And, of course, we picked up Naranja Park and Painted Sky. So this is the reclaimed distribution we have at this time. That construction, a little over 1.5 miles of transmission and distribution mains, three metering stations at each of those new locations. And we financed $4.5 million. It was funded as part of the 2007, no, funded as the 2007 20-year WIFA loan. The debt for phases one and two was refinanced as part of the town's 2021 bond issuance. So, we had original loans and refinance. So Barry doesn't like me to use the word commingled, but it's refinanced. So as of June 30th, 2023, the outstanding debt on the reclaim system is $2.8 million. Yes, Alan.
Yeah, Peter, I only bring it up because I know you're kind of making a comparison of what systems cost then to what they're going to cost now. So one thing I would add to that phase two, because it was a pretty expensive thing, was we had to rebuild three ponds. I take it back. We did the Sun City one in phase one, so we rebuilt two ponds in phase two.
Commissioner Forrest's point is we built the reclaim system. It was expensive. The community, and a majority of that debt is paid for by the potable customer. But this community said golf's important to us, and it's important to support it with another source of supply. and they were supportive of this. And it's been a game changer for Oro Valley, as you've seen from my...
Sorry, Peter, but just to clarify, now, today, we wouldn't have to do that with those ponds. So, like, for the upper, you wouldn't have to replace, you wouldn't have to reline them, because problem back then was we had nitrate still in the reclaimed water.
Was it grade A plus then?
It was just A. They didn't, plus didn't really exist. Right. And so that's why you had to line, because plus is the elimination of nitrate. So when we went to A plus, you no longer have to line because they're not worried about the contamination of the groundwater with the nitrate. So all I'm saying is if you pick up a golf course today, you don't have to worry about that. You can just put it in the existing pond.
And that's one of the benefits of having a fellow water expert on the commission, is especially with the historical knowledge you have, is you can add color to anything I say. So thank you. It's appreciated, Alan.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to call this phase three, you know, reclaimed water main. So we looked at two different alignments. And the major difference between the two alignments is one is a bore and jack under the Canyon Del Oro Wash. And another alignment, watch this area is going to change, it's going to go over here, is to go over the push view lane or hang some of the pipe underneath the push view lane bridge. Bear in mind, this is a general arrangement type design. I mean, it's, yeah, we did modeling on what the sizes of pipes needed to be. We knew how long they were going to be. We looked at a lot of detail, but that's why we have that. You'll see the contingency built in here that we do is there still would be a lot of unknowns, but it's conceptual. And we were doing our best to give our elected body the best information possible to help with their decision-making. So we looked at this, and there are different colors on purpose as segments. And these all build on each other. So looking at, you know, how would we get service to Riverfront Park? Well, you know, probably the best way is to, you know, we looked at, would we want to go down La Cañada? You know, we looked at, okay, we can go through the neighborhood. We have looked at some different ways, but Riverfront Park, we said, okay, we looked at it. It's, you know, a little over $4 million for construction, engineering, permitting, $500,000, and then $1 million contingency. That's just for those unknown factors. So, you know, $5.6 million to get to Riverfront Park. Now, that's just to get the water there. We would probably have to redo Riverfront Park's whole system, because I would be scared to death about a cross connection there. I can't imagine tying it into their irrigation system, because God only knows where those drinking fountains are tying into, you know. So that's just to get it to the site. Then to pick up the 9-hole. So these numbers, you know, it's basically the segment is like $5 million, but you add the 5 to the 4 and you get 9. So it's aggregate. It builds on itself. So to get to the 9-hole, we said, okay, you know, $9 million engineering and permitting, you know, $1.1 million, $2.3 million in contingency. So, you know, $12.6 million with alignment A to get to the 9-hole. And then, of course, you know, looking to get to JDK Park. By the time you're done, you know, to do the whole thing per the implied direction given to me from council, you know, $5.2 million for alignment A. You know, the second alignment, you know, at the end of the day, it's the same number, $5.2, $5.8 million. You know, I'm not going to go through the breakdown for you, but it's not altogether that much different. As part of this study, we did also look at, but I didn't include it in this because it wasn't asked by council, but while I was here, we did the body of work anyways. We looked at what it would cost to pick up the Push Ridge High School athletic fields and to bring reclaimed water to the Oro Valley Country Club. So we have that information if council wants it. So at this time, I have no other commentary to offer, but We just wanted the commission to be aware that we've performed this body of work. It's been transmitted to our councils, so hopefully we're giving them the best information possible so they can make the best decision possible for our community.
Hey, Peter, did you do a swag at the revenue estimate of what we collect as far as reclaimed water fees?
Well, we know what the revenue is. Did I put it down here? Hold on, I don't know if I did revenues. But okay, let's just look at. And Mary's going to have her finger on the pulse of this more than me when it comes to the dollar signs. But, looking at the Ron Hop Park expansion, Riverfront Park, JDK Park, and the nine-hole golf course, we estimate about 260 acre feet. Just to provide context, we lost the Vistoso 18-hole golf course, and they used between 325 and 375 acre feet a year. I was trying to show two things here. One is give you an idea that, okay, these three or four items, you're not even up to an 18-hole golf course yet. So, there's not a lot.
So we have enough existing capacity.
I'm trying to tell that story that we have the capacity. But also, Mary, what is an 18-hole? An 18-hole golf course uses 10 million gallons a month. Do you remember roughly how much revenue we get from an 18-hole course?
Well, in total for the year, it's 1.4.
1.4, divide that by 4.
Uh-huh.
So 300,000, it's less than that, maybe 200,000, 250,000 a year. I can feel confident in this. It's not enough to cover this debt service.
Yeah. All right. Excuse me, Peter. Has the country club approached the town? Have they asked to have the?
No, I've approached them, and fortunately, I can run faster than anybody there can. No, I have approached them and talked to them, and they weren't really.
It's a private well system there.
When we,
yeah. The thing when is, we originally, the thing is they have a grandfather's right.
Right.
Type right to pump groundwater, and I can't beat the price they pay. They're going to pay the CAGRD, but I can't compete with that.
Yeah, we approached them, when we first master planned the whole thing, and we basically got kicked out. they have no incentive, absolutely none.
That's
basically their water's free, for all intents and purposes, and then we're going to bring in a system where we're going to charge them, cost of service for that water. It's a order of magnitude difference, and so they just, they didn't even say no thanks. They just said no, hell no, So
an appeal to their good conscience.
We tried, but
sustainability.
Yeah, money talks louder, I guess.
So just want to make the commission aware of this body work. I don't know if council's going to come back with some work for this commission body to perform to help them with a decision, but just wanted to have you this background and know that this body of work is available to you. So stay tuned. Maybe within the year there'll be something that council would like the commission to look at. So we'll see. Any other questions with respect to this report?
That's good work, Peter.
Thank you. Yeah, it took us, I think we spent like 9 or 10 months on it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Item number 9, town council meetings and communications. Councilman Bowen is not here. I don't know if you want to cover that or skip that.
I don't know if town manager has anything to add to that.
No, not at this point.
All right, we'll move on to item number 10, director's report.
All right, I'll wrap it up here. I hope I'm not mistaken on this, but I think the town council regular session is September 6th. At 6 p.m. in council chambers, and our next water utility commission meeting will be September 11th in this room at 5 p.m. Looking at the Upper Colorado Basin snowpack, so we're at the end. You know, that snow is pretty much all melted and has resulted in runoff, and we had a pretty good year last year. You can see where the 2023, where the black line and the green line here is the median. So we're above the curve everywhere, along the curve, I think, almost everywhere. So much so that it would bump us from a tier 2A into a back up to a tier 1. But I don't know that we're going to be paying the tier 1 rate. I got a thing from CAP saying, yeah, we're going to be in a tier 1, but expect to stay in a tier 2A payment. And I didn't, I just got the memo, and I read it fast. Anyways, this is good. Reservoir levels will be recovering a little bit, but we're still, and I'll provide a report next meeting. Nothing new has come out of the Bureau of Reclamation. The lower basin states had provided an action plan to the Bureau of Reclamation that achieved about half, I think, of the reduction the Bureau of Reclamation was looking for. But we haven't heard anything back. I don't know that anybody at my level is privy to what those cuts look like and for whom. I don't know if Alan, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't have anything more than
you. Mum's been the word. Mm-hmm. So there's stay tuned. As soon as I know, you can expect to know as well. Here again, looking at the reservoir levels, here's the one we care about in our current plan. Lake Mead, we were below this red line here, and that's what put us into a tier 2A shortage. Because of the improved hydrology, we're above it, and we're in a tier 1 shortage now. So, the reservoir levels have shown some recovery, but it's just because of the improved hydrology. As soon as the hydrology turns south on us at our current, with our current drought contingency plan, we can expect those levels to fall. Hopefully, before the end of the calendar year, we'll get some kind of plan that confirms the river and preserve the river, and that's equitable to all users, such that the reservoir levels will start holding steady longer. So stay tuned. And lastly, I'm hoping all of you commissioners received an email from Emily from the Southern Arizona Water Users Association. So I'm pushing this because I'm the president of SAWA this year. Friday, September 29th, 2023, at the Tucson Convention Center, the Southern Arizona Water Users Association, we have a forum. We're going to have the general manager from CAP speak with us, a representative from ADEQ, and someone from the Arizona Water Bank. So, it's free. We provide a nice breakfast. We have some nice swag. So if you can get there, we'd love to see you. Did anybody in the commission not get this email or not know what I'm talking about?
I didn't get it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think
so. No, can we just, Maritza, can you make a note that I think I still have this flyer. Can we just send this out to all the commissioners?
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a pretty good event. And if there's, it's in the end of September. So, we're hoping that, maybe the general manager of CAP might have a little nugget for us, kind of tell them what's going on. So we'll see. That concludes my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Call to the audience. Any other speaker cards? If we can get that one down there passed up here.
Absolutely.
All right. Next item on the agenda is adjournment. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second?
Second.
All right. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those that don't, stay.
Absolutely. Thank you.